Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bechoros Daf Nun Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Masech. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin the ninth perek at the top of Daf Nun Gimel. This perek is dedicated to the topic of Miser Behema, the need to tithe all animals that are born in a given Miser year. A Miser year is defined as all those births of animals that took place between the month of Elul and the next Elul. That's considered a Miser Behema year. Miser Behema involves taking the animals that were born that particular year and having them march one after the other in single file through a narrow passageway, and you count them 1, 2, 3, etc., until you get to number 10. And when you reach number 10, it's painted red and labeled the Miser Behema. Miser Behema is brought as a sacrifice, of course, if it is blemish-free, and it's eaten by the owner. It's a type of korban that is brought by the owner and eaten by the owner. There are a number of other halachas that apply to Miser Behema. For example, it cannot be sold nor redeemed. Let us now turn to the Mishnah. Miser Behema noheg ba'aretz uvechutz la'aretz. The need to tithe animals is something practiced in Eretz Yisrael and also outside of Eretz Yisrael. Bifnei Habayis, v'shelo bifnei Habayis, during the time of the Beis HaMikdash and also after the time of the Beis HaMikdash. One may ask that if it's brought as a sacrifice, so what practical bearing would it have to be practiced even after the time of the Beis HaMikdash? So there is a nafgamina, there is a practical outcome of that, and that is that one would tithe his animals and not be allowed to do anything with it until it develops a blemish, at which time the owner could then slaughter it and eat it. Continuing in the Mishnah, Bechulin Avolo B'Mukdoshim. Miser Behema is something one tithes of his common animals, the Chulin, his mundane common animals, and not something that he does with his sanctified or dedicated animals. Sanctified or dedicated to the Beis HaMikdash. V'noheg b'bokor v'tzon, it's practiced on kosher domesticated type animals, bokor heavy animals like cows, tzon lighter animals like sheep and goats. V'ein misasr mizalzeh, one would not tithe sheep and cows together. U'bekvosim u'v'izim, it's miser behema is noheg with sheep and goats. U'misasrin mizalzeh, and you can do the tithe of sheep and goats together. B'chodosh uv'yoshan, it's noheg in with regard to this year's births and last year's births. Yoshan, literally old, but it's a reference to the previous year. V'einon mis'asrin mizalzeh, you cannot tithe new animals to cover last year's births. In other words, they cannot be tithed together. Shehoya b'din, logic would have led me to conclude that I shouldn't be allowed to tithe even sheep and goats together, which the Mishnah says you can. And what is the logic that would have led me to say that even kvosim and izim should not be done together? The logic would go as follows. Uma im chodosh v'hayoshon she'enon kilayim zeh bo zeh. Einom misasrin mizalzeh. Mind you, chodesh and yoshen, last year's births and this year's births of the same variety animal, they can be bred one with the other. There's no kilayim problem, and yet we're told not to mafrish from one on the other. You don't tithe one for the other. Kvosim v'izim, sheep and goats, which already have a built-in distancing factor. Shein kilayim zeh bozeh. You can't mate them one with the other. Eino din, so all the more so, shelo yu misasrin mizeh alzeh. All the more so, one should not be able to tithe them together, one on the other. Talmud lomar vitzon. The word in the pasuk says tzon, mashma kol tzon echad. All tzon is grouped together. The word tzon is an umbrella expression referring to light cattle or light animals, sheep and goats. So there, since the pasuk dealing with meiser behema groups them together, so one can mafrish them together. Let us continue now in the Gemara, but beforehand we look at the topic heading that we have on the outside margin. The topic that will be dealt with here is Meiser Behema Bevehemas Chutz La'aretz. The topic dealt with will be concerning the practice of Meiser Behema with regard to animals that are outside of Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara will open with a question suggesting that our Mishnah is not in accordance with Rabbi Akiva. Our Mishnah said that it's Noheg B'Chutz La'aretz. Rabbi Akiva will give us the impression that it's not Noheg B'Chutz La'aretz. After the long question, the Gemara will answer that our Mishnah, in fact, could be resolved with Rabbi Akiva, and we'll see how the Gemara does that. So before we begin the actual Gemara, you'll notice to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text a shin that appears in a circle with a descending vertical dashed line. That shows you that this is a long question, and the length of the question is basically determined by the fact that here we have a Tanaic source that we're bringing to the fore to create our question. Lemo masnisin delo kribi kiva. Should we say that our Mishnah that says that Meiser Behema is noheg b'chutz, so it's not like Rabbi Akiva, the Sanya. We have the following Tanaic source in which Rabbi Akiva is featured. You can see we've underlined his name. Rabbi Akiva oimer, yochol yale odo Meiser Behema mechutzo loretz v'yakri venu. Should one think that a person should bring a tithed animal from the diaspora and bring it as an offering to the Beis Hamikdash as a sacrifice? Talmud lomar ve'hevesim shama lo'isechem v'zivcheichem v'yes ma'asroseichem. In this word you see the word ma'asroseichem is a word in a plural form. B'shtei ma'asros ha'kosev medaber. The pasuk is referring to two different kinds of tithes. Echod Meiser Behema v'echod Meiser Dogon. Meiser, the tithing of animals, and the tithing of grains. Mimokim shatamale Meiser Dogon, atamale Meiser Behema. From the type of grain, from the area of growth of grains that you would bring a tenth to Yerushalayim, it's called Meiser Sheni. From there, you will bring, from the whatever area you bring those kind of grains, which basically means grains that grow in Eretz Yisrael. That's where you will bring your Meiser Behema. Umimokom shiato male Meiser Dogon, from places that you don't bring, that you don't tithe grains, for example, outside of Eretz Yisrael. I atomale Meiser Behema. You don't bring Meiser Behema. So here you see Rabbi Akiva, and we've dashed underline this expression, I atomala Meiser Behema, you don't bring Meiser Behema from where? From Chutz La'aretz. And yet our Mishnah said that Meiser Behema is noheg b'Chutz La'aretz. So our Mishnah sounds like an opinion, not that of Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara answers, afilu tema Rabbi Akiva. we can resolve our Mishnah along with Rabbi Akiva. In other words, our mission could have been authored by Rabbi Akiva. Kan likrav, kan lifdosh. There are two issues when you're dealing with Meiser Behema. One issue is the offering of it as a sacrifice. With regard to that, we say you would not bring a tithed chutz la'aretz animal as a sacrifice. However, does it gain inherent holiness? Does after tithing it, does it become kodesh, holy? So we say yes, a behema that is from chutz la'aretz, if one tithes his chutz la'aretz animals, then it becomes holy. Daiko nami, by careful reading of the source with Rabbi Akiva, you can see that he was focused not on the intrinsic holiness, but rather on the issue of it being brought as a sacrifice to the Beis HaMikdash. And how do you see that? The Karnosiv Law Tamuda, the Brisa brings as proof to its point the Pasuk, Vevesim Shama. Vevesim is a Loshon Hakrov, it's an expression of bringing as a sacrifice. Shema Aminosa. From here we see that the focus of Rabbi Akiva was not on the basic practice of tithing in Chutz La'aretz, but rather his issue was bringing the tithed animal that was tithed in Chutz La'aretz as a sacrifice. So that's all Rabbi Akiva said, that it's not brought as a sacrifice, but that there is tithing of behemos in Chutz La'aretz. The Gemara asks, "I hachi me'achar sheinu korev amai kadosh." If this be the case, that it's sanctified but it's not brought as a sacrifice, so what practical bearing does it have in that it becomes kodesh, that it becomes sanctified? Answer, l'nechal b'mumo l'baylim. The owner will not be able to eat from it, will not be able to slaughter and eat it until it develops a blemish. That's all a result of it having become sanctified. Bifnei Abayis v'shelo bifnei Abayis. The Mishnah says that Maaser Behema is practiced during the time of the Beis HaMikdash and also after its destruction. This raises a question. Why is it that we don't do Maaser Behema? Let us glance at the side of the Gemara. We have a nosei, a topic heading. Lomo bizman hazeh ein anu nohagim la'aser habehemos. Why is it that we today don't practice tithing animals? As soon as we get into the Gemara, we will notice diamonds that appear. They represent answers, tshuvos lehanal. They are answers to this question. So the Gemara, I hochi. If it's so, according to the Mishnah, that Maaser Behema is something that could be practiced after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, afilu idnanami, idno means nowadays. Why nowadays do we not practice it? So the first approach is Kidu Rav Huna, the Omar Rav Huna, Gzero Mishum Yosoim. According to Rav Huna, the cessation of Maaser Behema is a result of Yosom. What's Yosom? Yosom is an example of an animal that would not be acceptable as a sacrifice. In fact, there are quite a few animals that are not to enter the deer, not to enter the passageway for counting. Rashi enumerates them. They include kilayim, trefo, yotze doifen, mechusar zman, and yosom. Five different animals that Rashi enumerates based on the Mishnah later on. Yosom is cited basically just as one example. So we're saying here, we don't do it because you might end up tithing a yosom. Now, a yosom happens to be an animal that as it was being born, its mother died. It died died in childbirth. So, the Gemara asks, I hachi, if there's a fear that you may be tithing an unacceptable animal, that you might have one of these unacceptable animals included in the tithing process, so then may koranami lo, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash also, we shouldn't have tithing of animals in anticipation or in fear of your having, in your including in the tithing process one of these unacceptable animals. Ela, so why is it that in the time of the of the Beis HaMikdash that we do in fact practice Meiser Behema, because Efshir Bahachroza, because it's possible to announce, to educate the public through an announcement that don't use Trefa or Kilayim or Yosom. Well, just like during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, we weren't worried about that. So Hochanami Efshir Bahachroza. So to nowadays, why not do Meiser Behema and rely on an announcement to inform the public not to use these unacceptable animals, including Yosom, as part of the tithing process? So Rav Huna, if he's trying to say that we don't do it because of a fear of Yosom, that wasn't a fear in the past because we had a possibility of announcing. So too nowadays, let's rely on the announcement. Elo Omar Rava, Mishum Takola. Rava explains that the reason we don't do it nowadays is because once an animal is sanctified, it then becomes prohibited in being used for Giza Vavoda, for shearing and for working with it. In fact, even if it becomes blemished, it's forbidden to be used for Gizo and Avoda. The only thing that one does, that when it becomes blemished, one would slaughter it and eat it. So the sanctification of an animal would just invite trouble. We would leave it around till it gets a blemish, and in all the time that you're waiting, it could be years till it develops the blemish. There is the takolo, the fear of coming to shear it, work with it, or even slaughtering it before it gets the moon. So because of this fear of takola, of stumbling, we don't tithe animals. Before going further in the Gemara, we have a topic heading, even though we're in the middle of a discussion. The topic heading under the Nosei, we've written as follows. Ein ma'asrin behemus b'pnei chashash takola. We don't tithe animals nowadays, because of this fear of this stumbling, fear of using it improperly. Behemshech, in the continuation of the Gemara, Behemshech HaGemara, or let's read that again, Behemshech HaGemara Tatzia Ra'ayon. The Gemara will suggest an idea, La'afsher La'aser Belo Chashash Takola, to, in fact, continue the practice of tithing animals without having the fear of a wrongdoing. V'hainu ayidei hatolas mum b'vehem oisav kodem isuran. And this would be through the imposition of a blemish in his animals before they are tithed. In other words, if before the tithing takes place, they already have a blemish because I imposed a blemish upon them, so then go ahead and tithe them, because we know that the tithing process is done even with blemished animals, as opposed to other shortcomings like we had before, Yosom and Trefa, Kilayim. However, blemished is not considered a shortcoming with regard to the tithing process. So, and if it's blemished, so then you'll be able to slaughter it and eat it immediately, thereby circumventing any possible takola. Avo basof haGemara tidche tzezu. The Gemara in the end will reject this suggestion. V'nishar bozeh shelo ma'asrin biglal chashash takol. And we'll be left with this, that we don't tithe because of a fear of takola. In other words, because this suggestion of imposing a blemish won't last at the end, by the end of our discussion, so we're going to come back to where we are now, where, as Rava explained, we don't practice Meiser Behema because of a chashash takola. All of this will come as a result of this conclusion will be reached through a vigorous give and take in the Gemara, which we will see in Mirtz Hashem as we go on in the Gemara. So now we pick up after the diamonded Rava. Umenot Temra the Chayshinon the Takola. From where do we know that we take into consideration the fear of wrongdoing? the Sanya. We have a Tanaic source. It says Ein Magdishin, Vein Ma'arichin, Vein Machrimin, Bizmanazeh. These are different words of indicating dedication or sanctification of items. Hektish, Harocha, and Achroma. We don't do these things Bizmanazeh nowadays. Vim Hektish Verich Vichrim, if one did one of these forms of dedication, which in effect imposes holiness on the item dedicated. So it depends what the item is. Behema te'aker. This will be explained a bit later. Peros ksus v'kelim irakvu. If one made a dedication of fruits, clothing, or vessels, we set them aside till they rot. Mo'ois uklei matchis yolich liyam amelch. If one made a dedication of metallic substances that don't rot, whether it be cash or vessels, so he brings them to the salt sea and throws them into the salt sea where they will corrode. The Ezo Ikor, we mentioned that if one was Makdish Behema, so Te'oker. What is meant by Ikor? Noel Delas Befonel, Vi Meso Me'alel. You lock it in a room so that you don't come to use it and it will die from starvation. Why is all of this done? Because we don't. In the first place, you shouldn't have dedicated, because of if one does, it can lead to someone misusing it. And if one did, in fact, do it, we put it away until it dies, so as to prevent someone from misusing it. This shows that we're choshesh for takola. The Gemara now asks a question, but it's a question the Gemara immediately will reject as a question. It asks, Ihachi b'chor nami lo diklish. If we are choshesh for takola, for misuse of sanctified things, so then a firstborn male animal also should not be sanctified. So the Gemara says, how can you ask about b'chor, b'chor b'didon, Talia Mil says, b'chor something dependent on us? May rechem kadosh, it's born that way. So that the kedushas b'chor sets in automatically. So what's right now, we want to know what was the Gemara intending by bringing in b'chor into this discussion in the first place? Hachi ko'omar. Thusly, the Gemara says, since you're choshesh for takola, likninu l'udnayu l'oivdei kechavim. I think maybe before we go further, we should just point out, it might be obvious to many of you, but when the Gemara introduced Bechor, Bechor happens to be something that is binding nowadays. So, as far as that's concerned, that it becomes sanctified, that we have no control over that. It's born that way. The fact that it's a firstborn male animal, that itself creates the Kedusha. But once we know that there is something called Chashash Takola, so couldn't we save ourselves trouble or save ourselves from problems by doing the following with a Bechor? Likninu ludnayu loiv de kachavim. Give ownership to a maknes, to transact, to give ownership of the ears of the animal's mothers to goyim. And by the fact that a Gentile, by an idol worshipper, is involved in the animal, in this case in the mother, so it's, we call this yad oiv de kachavim. He is a part owner of the of the mother, thereby the birth of the firstborn male animal born from an animal owned partially by a Gentile is in fact exempt from Bechora. So that even Bizmanazeh, even though a Bechor may be something that becomes sanctified automatically, if you're saying that there is a Chashash Takola, so we could prevent the Bechor from becoming sanctified. And that would be by having the Gentile own part of the mother, even if it be just her ear. So the Gemara says, you know, you're on to the right track when speaking about the Bechor, and as far as preventing Takola, there is a way, but we have a better way with regard to the Bechor. Efsher kidur of Yehuda. We can practice Rav Yehuda's method. Yomar Rav Yehuda, muter loy l'odom lahatil mum.
In other words, even better than being makne to a goy. And why this Rav Yehuda's suggestion is better, so this is referred to by Rashi, who refers you to a Gemara back on Daf Gimel Amud Beis. But without getting into the reasons for it, we're just going to understand or assume that this is the better way. You can impose a blemish on the firstborn before it exits the womb. It doesn't have sanctity at that point, and hence there's no prohibition of imposing a mum on an animal. So, since it's mutter to impose a mum on an animal before it comes la'avir olam, that is how one can prevent the b'chor, the firstborn, upon its birth from resulting or leading to a takola. As it's born with its mum, so the animal can be slaughtered and eaten immediately. And as a result of that, there's no waiting time for mum development, and hence there's no fear of coming to misusing it. The Gemara asks, Hocha Nami, well, in the case of Meiser Behema, then you'll notice we're now using a marking, a geometric form, in order to keep track of the back and forth, the give and take style of this Gemara. You'll notice in the outside margin we have an explanation under our Mivneh heading, which we call Ma'akav. These are She'elois, with the point of the triangles facing up, they represent questions. She'matarosan, the purpose or the goal of this of the questions, would be Loimar, to show or to say She'yesh efsharus laser b'li lavoli de chashas takala. There is a possibility of having Meister Behema practiced, even Bizman Hazeh, without having a Chashash Takola. So we're bringing into question Rova's explanation, who said, well, we don't do Meister Behema Bizman Hazeh because of a Chashash Takola. Well, we have a way of getting around the issue of Takola. And what is that? You guessed it. It's the Mum imposition. So the Gemara says, it asks, Hocha Nami, with regard to Meiser Behema as well, Efshir Deshadi Bei Muma Meikara. You can impose a mum on the animal from the outset. And as such, you can go ahead and do the tithing, and you won't come to a takola. The Gemara responds, notice the triangle is flipped over. And this response really takes up a number of lines of Gemara, and we've put a long answer marking to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara in order for you to see the length of this particular response. It will be followed, though, by a question. The back-and-forth style continues. In the meantime, the suggestion was by Meiser Behema imposing a mum. So the Gemara says, well, mi yoda he nafik. How do you know which one is going to come out in the number 10? In other words, the suggestion of let us impose a mum would be very good if the 10th animal, which is the Meiser Behema animal, which is the sanctified one, it is the one that has the mum. But who says the one that I impose a mum on, as you just suggested, will come out as number 10? V'chi teima. Now these double underlines are featured under our Mivneh heading as meaning, these are nisyonos loimar shiyesh b'chol zois efsharus laser avol miad nidchos. These are attempts to say that there is a possibility of practicing meiser anyway, even if you say I don't know which one's going to come out as number 10, but these suggestions are rejected immediately. So, as we just said, that the idea of imposing a mum isn't going to be a suggestion because I don't know which one's going to come out as number 10. Well, position it that it should come out as number 10 after the animals go through the narrow passageway and get counted. So you might say, fix it that way, that it comes out as number 10. Can't do that though. Lo yavakir bein toiv l'ra, omar rachmona. The Torah says not to make any distinctions. And in this case, it would mean not to fix it that way, that it should come out as the number 10th. V'chi teima efshu deshodi bei muma b'kulei edre. You might say, but still, we could impose blemishes on the entire flock before he does any tithing. So that's also rejected. In other words, this idea of blemish imposition is just rejected. There is a concept that is referred to as Meheru Yibona Beis HaMikdash, which there's the constant hope that the Beis HaMikdash will be reconstructed immediately, and we'll need animals immediately, with very short notice. We're going to need animals for being offered as sacrifices, and there won't be any available. If people are imposing blemishes on their entire flocks, where are you going to find animals for the Beis HaMikdash in the event that it's built? And when it's rebuilt, it's going to be done with very short notice. So, at this point, just to make sure that we're keeping track of the back and forth structure, the mum suggestion, in order to obviate a takola, is untenable. Question: Hachinami, you notice the triangle's point is facing up, so we ask, well, Hachinami b'vachor behema, well, with regard to, you suggested imposing blemishes on firstborns before they're born, Meheru Yibona Beis HaMikdash Ubuinen Behema La Grova Valeka, well, isn't there the fear that there's going to be rebuilding of Beis HaMikdash with very little notice, and I won't have animals to offer as sacrifices? The Gemara says, well, that doesn't bother us so much, because Efshir B'Pshutin, I will use as sacrifices non-firstborn animals. I'll have a supply from the Pshutim. Well, Hachanami, if you're introducing this idea of alternative supplies, by Meiser Behem also, Efshir B'Lekuchin. Lekuchin means purchased animals. If one purchases animals, he doesn't tithe purchased animals. So what the Gemara is saying is, why not have Meiser Behema practiced nowadays? Impose, as far as Chashash Takol is concerned, impose a blemish on your entire flock. As far as the need for to make sure there's a supply of animals for the Beis HaMikdash, that can be accomplished through purchased animals. Those are animals that don't have to go through the tithing process. So as far as the tithing process is concerned, I get around the takola problem because I've imposed a mum on my entire flock. As far as the supply of animals for the Beis HaMikdash, I can use purchased animals for that. The Gemara answers, that's not realistic. Kevon diu shodi be muma bakule edre, since he has imposed a blemish on his entire flock, and we can assume everyone would do that, if that was a reasonable suggestion, then everyone would do that. And now you'll say, well, you might chance upon an animal that, that this wasn't done to, and you can go buy it. Ushchichi mumi de pasli bekotchim. However, blemishes that render animals unfit as sacrifices are very common. The afilu dukin shibayanami pasli, even a minor eye blemish, which is called dukin shibayan. It's a type of blemish that affects the eye. That even that minor type blemish renders an animal unfit as a sacrifice. Lo shchichi. There won't be, it's not common. In other words, it won't be easy to find an animal to bring as a korban. So that if you're focusing, let's say, on a given person, and he needs to bring a korban, and when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, so he'll need to bring korbanos, where will he find them? As far as his own flock is concerned, well, he's imposed a mum on his entire flock. As far as a purchased animal is concerned, it's going to be hard to come by that. Why is it going to be hard to come by? Because even if you do find one, nevertheless, the chances are very great that it will have a blemish anyway. Because we see that even minor mutilations constitute a mum. So as a result of not having animals available for korbanos, upon the short notice of the short or the immediate rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, the suggestion of imposing mumin on one's flocks is simply untenable, and we're left with the original approach as to why we don't practice Meiser Behema Bizman Hazeh, and the answer to that is because of a chashash takola. If you'll say, well, b'chor we practice Bizman Hazeh, so of course we practice it in the sense that it becomes sanctified automatically, but as far as the chashash takola by b'chor, so we have a way around that. We saw two suggestions, either being makne, the mother, a part of the mother to a goy, or the imposition of a blemish on the firstborn before it's born. And that doesn't affect the issue of a supply of animals for korbanos in general. The Gemara continues with a quote from the Mishnah, Bechulin avalobim mukdashim. Meiser Behemah is done with common animals, with the mundane, and not with animals that one sanctified. Before going on in the Gemara, we have a nosei, a topic heading, and under that we've written, Lahazbir, we are here to explain Lama hoyetzorech lemishnah lomar de'ein meiser behemah noheg b'mukdashim. Of what reason, what necessity did the Mishnah have to teach that? It seems fairly obvious. The Gemara is going to say that, well, when you sanctify something, it's no longer yours. By sanctifying an animal, it's transferred to the ownership of the Beis Hamikdash. So I can't tithe someone else's animals. So what's the point of teaching something that seems fairly obvious? Turning to the Gemara. Mukdashin pshita lav dide ninhu. Sanctified animals, it's obvious that they're not subjected to Meiser Behemah. They're not his. The Gemara answers. You'll notice we have a long answer marking, a tough indicating a teretz that's encircled with a descending vertical dashed line, indicating that all of these lines form the answer. The Gemara's answer, the Gemara will answer telling us that the Mishnah had in mind something called kochim kalim, low-level sanctity sacrifices. Kochim kalim, for example, a korban shlomim. A korban shlomim, in the opinion of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, is considered one's own property. It's called mumen bailim. Since it's considered one's own property, so there was a thought that it should be subjected to Meiser Behemah. The Gemara. Bekotshim Kalim, Valiba de Rabbi Yossi Aglili. The Mishnah, when it says that Meiser Behemah is not binding by Mukdashim, it's referring to Kotshim Kalim, light level sanctity animals, with in accordance with Rabbi Yossi Aglili's approach. The Omar, Kotshim Kalim, Momen Bailim Hain. Kotshim Kalim is considered owned by the owner, as opposed to the Beis HaMikdash. It's considered your own thing. Desanya, the Brisa quotes a posuk that deals with taking a shivua over matters that are contested, over financial matters that are contested. And the posuk says, Umo'ala ma'al ba'ashem v'chichesh ba'amisoi. L'rabois kochim kalim she'momun bailim divrei Rabbi Yossi Aglili. This is referring to a case where someone, let us say, had entrusted a shlomim to a shomer, and there's a denial, and the shomer swears concerning his denial, swears to back up his denial, and then he confesses that he swore falsely, so he has to pay the value of that which he contested, and an additional fifth, and he also brings a korban osham. Now, why is that? Why does that affect a korban shlomim that was entrusted? Well, since it's momon bailim, this is called v'chichesh ba'amiso. Amiso means the shomer denied something to his friend. Amiso is his friend, the guy that entrusted it to him. It's considered, the shlomim is therefore considered his own item. And hence, the halacha of this shvuas shov applies to it. So, being that our Mishnah was thinking along the lines of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that we're talking about kochim kalim, well, Salka Daiduch Amino Le'asu, since Kochim Kalim is referred to as Momen Bailim, so it should be subjected to the tithing process. Komash Malon, so our Mishnah tells us, no. V'eim Ohochinami, so maybe, you know, look, after all, once you tell me that Kochim Kalim is called Momen Bailim, so let it, yes, be subjected to the tithing process. The Gemara says, but still no, there's a pasuk that says no. Yiyeh kodeshim rachmona. In the case of Meisir Behema, it says, and it will become holy. V'lo shekvar kodosh, and not that which is already holy. So that to take a mice, to take a shlomim and use it as, and subject it to Meisir Behema, if it comes out as 10, or you have 10 shlomims that were born that year, you won't be fulfilling the pasuk that says yeh kodesh, that as a result of it becoming number 10, it now becomes sanctified. But it was already sanctified when I made it into a shlomim. Therefore, I see from this pasuk that shlomim are not subject to Meisir Behema. The Gemara now has a question. It's not a question that's, let's say, direct flow of the previous give and take. However, it's related to the above discussion. That's why we have a semicolon here to indicate a type of pause, but it's not a completely new topic. In addition, we have a long question mark, and you can see there's a kuf that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, and this takes you down to the second wide line of the Gemara. So the Gemara asks, Taimo de Kosav Rachmoni Yeh Kodesh. The reason that Kochim Kalim, we'll use Shlomim as an example as we continue our discussion. Kochim is Shlomim, sacrifice is considered a lower level sanctity. Why is it not subjected to Meisir Behema? Only because of this Gzeres HaKosav, Yeh Kodesh. Ha lav hachi, had I not had this pasuk, have chaylo kedushas meiser alayu. The meiser status would have taken hold of a korban shlomim. Now that is hard to understand. How is it that something that's already holy, it already has its own holiness, how is it that an additional type holiness will be chal on it? And the reason for this question being asked is we find the following. Hashto kedusha chamura kedusha kala lo chayla, a high level kedusha, a higher level kedusha, kedusha chamura, does not attach itself or set upon something that is already sanctified, even if it happens to be a lower level sanctity. Kedusha kala akedusha kala mibaya. So, two of the same level kedushas, one low level kedusha, for example, kedushas meiser behema, to be able to set upon a kedusha shlomim, that do I need to be told that that won't work? Just to go over this point again, if a more severe level, a stricter level kedusha doesn't set upon something that's already sanctified with a lower degree of sanctity, where you're going to stay on the same level, then all the more so the second Kedusha is not going to be chal on the first. At this point you see a bracketed section. The reason for these brackets is to indicate that the main point has been raised, the main question has been raised. So, and the question being, why is the pasuk so important, so necessary, in order to communicate this idea that the Kedusha, that the Kedusha's Meiser is not going to be Chal on the Kedusha Shlomim? I would know that anyway. I would know that from the fact that Kedusha Chamura is not Chal on Kedusha Kala. So now, the answer to that is, I need the Pasuk. And that answer is found after the bracketed section, where the Gemara says, Ma'u Detema, etc. and so forth. The Gemara will have an answer. And as a result of this, I will conclude that I do need the pasuk. In the brackets, however, we have the background for this assumption that a second Kedusha won't take hold of something that's already sanctified. Specifically, even Kedusha Chamura won't take hold, won't set upon something that's already sanctified. And that is now Umayhi in the brackets. Well, and Mahi, what is meant by Kedusha Chamur not being Chala and Kedusha Kala? Disnan, we have the following Tanaic source. Echod Kotche Mizbeach ve'echod Kotche Berek Habayis. Whether you're dealing with sacrifices for the altar or items dedicated to the temple repair fund, Ein Mishanin Oysam Mikedusha Likedusha. In order to appreciate this, we look at the Rashi. Rashi, more or less across from here, says Mikedusha Likedusha. She'ein kedushas mizbeach cholo al kedushas berek habayis. Something that has already a temple repair fund level kedusha called berek habayis. Kedushas mizbeach, a sacrificial level kedusha, won't take hold of such an animal. It's already been dedicated to berek habayis. The avagav the kedushas mizbeach chamura, and this has been dashed underlined because this is the main point. Even though Kedushas Mizbeach has a higher level of sanctity than Kedushas Berek Habayis. So that's the main point of bringing in this source. The source goes on to say, Avol Makdishin Oisoi Hektish Ilui U Machrimin Oisoi. Hektish Ilui has to do with the realm of Toivas Hanoh. In other words, a person can dedicate the Tovas Hanoh value that he has in a korban to the Beis HaMikdash. And Machrimin Osa is a form of dedicating something as a cherem. And when you do a cherem, that item is then given to a Kohen. And in this case, if you were to machrim an animal that's been sanctified, let's say to the Mizbeach, you would then give the Kohen the Tovas Hanoah value that you have in it. We're not going to elaborate on these points. If they're vague, it's okay because it doesn't affect the understanding of this particular Gemara, because we're focusing right now on the statement here that Ein Mishanin Oysam Mikedusha Likedusha. And we explained already that shows you that something that has Kedushas Berek Habayis, you don't impose on it Kedushas Mizbeach, even though that would have been an example of Kedusha Chamura being Chal on Kedusha Kala. This is, at this point, we end our question. The question being, what do I need the Pasuk of Yeh Kodesh for when on my own I would have understood that I won't have Shloman participate in the tithing process? The Gemara answers, Mahu de Tema, Chosam de Chol Behema Lav Le'oila Kaima. There, the reason that Kedushas Mizbeach is not Chal on Kedushas Berek Habayis, and that something maintains its Berek Habayis status exclusively, it's because not every animal is destined to be an ola. An ola is just is an example of a korban. Rove animals are around for eating, not for bringing in sacrifices. Therefore, when someone sanctifies something for Berek Habayis, that's his intention. It's a full closed deal. He sanctifies it, the animal that he chose for the temple repair fund, and he has no intention of another type of sanctity setting upon it. If he's interested in bringing a sacrifice, he'll bring that from another animal. Not all animals are destined to be brought as korbonus. So that will that's as far as the source is concerned. Avol hocha dechol behemo lemeiser kaima. But here that we're discussing meiser behemo and having meiser behemo being chal on something that's a shlomim. It could be like this. Since all animals have a kesher to meiser behemo, as soon as an animal is born, it's already subject to the potential of being tithed as meiser behemo. Afalgav the aktisha, even though you may have sanctified any given animal as a shlomim, lopoka isura de meiser mina. That would not relieve you or undo the meiser restrictions. Oh, so if we skip this short bracketed section, we immediately come to the answer. Komash malon, That's why I need the pasuk to say that an animal that was sanctified as a shlumim will mafkia, will prevent the kedushas meiser from setting upon it. Once again, without the pasuk of Yeh Kodesh, I would have thought that since meiser behemo is a universal type practice, type of sanctity, so it that type of sanctity could set upon something that is already sanctified, like a shlomim. Comes along the pasuk that says Yeh Kodesh, that says only animals that are for the first time becoming sanctified are subject to Meiser Behema, not animals that were already sanctified. Now, we have this short bracketed section that we have to go over. The suggestion was that without the pasuk, it could be that something that was already sanctified as a shlamim would not repel the kedushas meiser from setting upon it. Lamai nafkamina, what practical difference does it make for us to know that Meiser Behema would have settled upon the shlumim had I not had the pasuk? After all, once it's a shlumim, so it's already as sanctified as it could be. How is the attachment of the Meiser Behema status going to make any difference? The answer is, the nafkamina, the practical point or practical difference is below yimocher uvelo yigoel. Those are psukim that are relevant to the Meiser Behema. Meiser Behema cannot be sold, nor can it be redeemed, even if it has a blemish. This is in contrast to a Korban Shlomim. When it develops a blemish, it can be redeemed. So if you'll ask what practical value would there be in Kedushas Meiser setting upon a Shlomim, the answer is, as a Shlomim, if it were to develop a blemish, it could be redeemed. But now that it's been chosen as the number 10, it's been dedicated as the Meiser Behema, in the event it develops a blemish, it cannot be redeemed anymore. So all that having been said, we're saying, at this point, I would have thought that Kedushas Meiser could be chal on Kedushas Shlomim. Kamash Malon, that's what I need the pasuk for. Continuing in the Gemara. V'noheg babokor ubitzon v'ein misasrin mizeh alzeh. Meiser Behema is something, as we saw in the Mishnah, that affects heavy and light cattle alike. However, you don't tithe them together. Bekvosim ubeizim, Meiser Behema is binding on sheep and goats. U misasrin ze al ze, those can be tithed together. Bechodosh ubeyashon, the Mishnah said, it applies to this year's births, and it applies to last year's births. The ain misasrin ze al ze. Chodosh and Yashon, last year's births, cannot be mixed together with this year's births for tithing. At this point, a new geometric form appears. On the outside margin under our Nosei Mivneh heading, we have an explanation of what is anticipated. We have a trapezoid, or fondly referred to as the volcano shape. The narrow part facing up, we should say that they are here for ma'akav purpose. Ma'akav is an attempt to keep track of the give and take structure of the Gemara. With the narrow part facing upwards, those represent she'elois, questions, and when it's flipped over, those are tshuva's responses. And this give and take is be'inyan meiser behema u'meiser dogon. We're going to make references to animal tithing and grain tithing. Legabi hafrosha mechadosh al yoshan. Within the context, this discussion will deal with this year's items with last year's. And hafrosha mimin al she'en omino. And we'll discuss the issue of tithing from one variety to cover the other. Examples of that will include Boker Vitzon and Kvosim Ve'izim. Turning now to the Gemara. The Gemara opens up with a question. The question lasts three lines. You can see we've indicated this with a long question marking to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara. Our Mishnah said that Chodosh and Yashan, you're not mafrish them together. In other words, you're not mafrish from Chodosh to exempt Yashan, or vice versa. The suggestion, though, is let us say that Chodosh and Yashan can be tied together. Let them be tithed together. Let one cover the other, based on Kal v'chomer logic.
Sheep and goats, which must be kept apart in terms of breeding, otherwise you'll create kilayim, and that's forbidden. And even so, even though they're kept apart, so to speak, with regard to kilayim, Misasrin Mizalzeh, they can be tied one together with the other. Chodosh v'yoshen she'enon kilayim zeh bozeh, this year's and last year's animals, which certainly can be bred together, eino din she'isasru mizalzeh, then all the more so one should be able to tithe one on the other. Talmud Lomar, notice the trapezoid flips over here, this is an answer. Talmud Lomar, Aser to Aser. We have a Gzeres HaKosov from which we will learn that even though the logic might have indicated Chodosh and Yashan could be done together, this Pasuk will tell us no. B'shtei Maishus HaKosov Medaber. The double expression which says Aser to Aser is a reference to two types of tithes. Echod Maiser Beimo V'Echod Maiser Dogon. One is the animal tithing, and the other is grain tithing. Umakish meiser beimala meiser dogon. And we are to compare animal tithing to grain tithing. Ma meiser dogon mechodosh al yoshen lo. Just like grain tithing from this year's grains cannot be used to exempt last year's grains. The Pasuk says, "Hayotze hasodeh shana shana," from which we learn that each year is treated separately, which for our purposes means that this year's new produce cannot be used to tithe last year's produce. Af meiser behema, the Gemara goes on to say, "Mechadash al hayoshan loy." So as a result of this hekish that we learn from Aser Taser, I conclude that by Maiser Beima, Chodosh and Yashan cannot be tithed together, even though, as we said before, from the Kilayim logic, I would have thought otherwise. But we have a Pasuk saying you can't do Chodosh and Yashan. Question, Ihachi, Kivosim v'izim nami lema. When it comes to sheep and goats, which we said in the Mishnah can be tithed together, why not say the following? Makish meiser beimal meiser dogon. Ma meiser dogon mi min al sheino mino lo. Just like when meiser dogon, you're not mafresh from one variety to exempt another variety of growth. Af meiser beimal mi min al sheino mino lo. So say the same thing with regard to meiser beimal, which sheep and goats are two different varieties. I should not be allowed to mafresh them together, one to cover the other. And yet the Mishnah says that we do mafresh from mice from sheep and goats together. The Gemara says that's not a problem. Ravi Rachmona Tzon. The Torah includes that possibility of having kvasim and izim together from the based on the fact that the Torah used the word tzon. Tzon is an umbrella expression including sheep and goats. So we see that they are together. Ihachi Chodosh v'Yoshon Nami. Well, if that be the case, if there's tzon is an umbrella expression, so let me do hafroshes meiser beima from chodosh on yoshan as well, from last year's animals and this year's animals together. Versus well, haksiv aser to aser. With regard to chodosh and yoshan, I compare that to the grains, and just like by the grains. We say one year on the next no, so too with animals.
the Gemara asks, Uma Rois, what is it that you see to compare grains with animals with regard to the issue of Chodesh V'Yoshen and not with regard to variety? Namely, in the case of grains, we say different varieties cannot be tithed one on the other. In the case of Kvosim and Isim, we say they can be tied one on the other. So what puts you into that position where with regard to Chodesh and Yoshen there is a grain comparison? With regard to Minim, there is no grain comparison. If there's a comparison, it should be across the board, shouldn't it? Omar Rava, Omar Kro. The Pasuk says, Shana, Shana. We saw above the Pasuk mentioned Aser to Aser. And in that Pasuk it mentions, Shana, Shana. Which tells me l'shana hikshesiv v'lo l'davar achir. Comparison between grains and ma'aser behema is only with respect to the issue of chodesh v'yoshen. But as far as minim are concerned, kvosim and izim, so that issue of minim, we don't compare ma'aser behema to ma'aser dogan. In the case of ma'aser dogan, in fact, if they're different minim, you're not mafrish one on the other. But in the case of the kvosim minim, even though they're different minim, you can be mafrish one on the other. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.